it's time to take off on the Award Travel 101 podcast. Helping you maximize your travel rewards, no matter your destination or budget. Now here are your hosts, Award Travel 101 community managers, Angie Sparks and Joseph Petrovic, to help you do extraordinary things on ordinary money.
When it comes to award travel, earning points is easier than redeeming them for the best value. Rather than spending hours per trip searching on your own, let Thrifty Traveler Premium's army of flight analysts do the work for you with their customized premium alerts. Since we're seeing award space to more locations than we've seen in years, you will know that you have a partner you can trust watching out for you and that you're getting a great deal every single day from Thrifty Traveler's Premium Alert Service.
Whether using miles or points, or you're just looking for a cheap cash flight, Thrifty Traveler Premium will send customized alerts just for you. Just recently, with the help of Thrifty Traveler's Premium Alerts, I was able to book the brand new Japan Airlines A350-1000 in business class to Tokyo for just 60,000 American Advantage miles and $5.60. I booked previous alerts like Emirates Business Class from Milan on the A380 for 73,000 points, Iberia Business Class to Venice for 34,000 points, and Business Class on ITAs, or you might recognize it as ITA, brand new A330-900neo for 54,000 points from Rome to New York City. So if you want more premium deal award alerts sent straight to your inbox, head on over to thriftytraveler.com and use promo code AT10 for $10 off your first year and tell us where you're hoping Thrifty Traveler Premium will take you.
And we're back for episode 63 of the Award Travel 101 podcast. My name's Joseph Petrovic, and I'm here with Angie Sparks again.
Hey, Joe, how are you? 2 weeks in a row. Look at us.
Yeah, perfect. We've got a lot to discuss this week, so let's jump straight into our post of the week by Penina Olar, if I said that correctly, or probably didn't. I probably said it incorrectly, but we thought it was an interesting post in the Award Travel 101 community because it's a question we get quite frequently.
So Panita's post, and you actually flagged this one, was interesting because she and her husband are considering a trip to Asia this summer. It's April. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. And they're most likely wanting to go in June. So her concern is that she started looking and, you know, her husband wants to fly business class, but already the miles are showing at 200,000 per person one way. And so she's kind of wanting to know, you know, when do you book these? And, you know, are the prices going to come down? And of course, you know, my crystal ball is broken. I can't tell her for sure that they will. There's two schools on this. And I think we've addressed this before. I like to start looking as soon as I know my dates, you know, just to have the best options of being able to find something at that point. But you know, we know people, and Joe's done it, that you can book a flight very close in and you can get great award space. You know, that starts becoming more difficult the more people that you're booking for. It starts becoming more difficult. And, you know, it's a huge gamble that if you have specific dates where you need to be someplace, chances are she can find better award space. You know, this is one of those situations where I probably would sign up for one of the award alert services so that I can jump on one of those when it does, so you don't have to spend every single day searching to see if you can find something. You know, be very flexible with her dates. You know, she's saying most likely going in June. That means she's pretty flexible. So I don't know, because you booked very close in before, haven't you?
Yeah, and I try to take advantage of this on either side of it, as I know. So like you mentioned, when we're scheduling far out in advance and we know that, hey, we have this trip, we do try to look for the lowest cost award. And, you know, because a lot of these programs, you and I have been around the space for a while, we know that there's a certain range that is going to be what we consider reasonable, or, you know, based on what the old award charts as they existed, which are they're slowly getting phased out, what a good price is. So, you know, if you find 60,000 or maybe 70 or 80,000, I think at 200,000 miles, that's probably a United Mileage Plus award. That's typically a number that I see from United is 200 to 250,000 miles one way in business class. If you find it on ANA as a partner award, a United Mileage Plus award would drop to 110, but you can get those for somewhere between $75,000 and $87,500 on Aeroplan, depending on where you're flying from exactly. So the chances are that there will be something that comes available at some point. Now, the question is will it meet her date requirements and when they can fly? But we often say also that the little bit of flexibility, it doesn't have to be a ton. I mean, it could be plus or minus 1 or 2 days, and you can do some amazing things, because I ended up coming home from Australia. I had 3 different flights booked, and all of them but one were booked within a 2-week window and could have been booked within a 2-week window or less.
Right. And I changed my, as we all know, I changed my safari flight, 4 times. And the last flight that we ended up taking, I think I changed it 5 weeks out. And that was for 2 people. So it is possible. Don't freak out, but, keep an eye on it.
So let's hop over to our news. And I think one of the first posts that I thought was interesting for this particular week doesn't come from our own award wallet, but comes from one of my friends, Michael Traeger, over at TravelZork. And on his latest episode, episode 70 of Yo! 11 Minutes, they talked a little bit about one of the things that really got me excited about travel rewards and loyalty programs in the space, and that's status matching.
Well, and as we know, this is why I got the Wyndham Business Earner card, is for this status matching thing. And so what there is now is you can take Caesars Diamond and you can match it to Wynn Platinum. And I got all excited when I saw this, because I have taken my Wyndham Business Earner card and I've matched it to Caesars Diamond. We talked about it last week and I got that approved and everything. And I haven't started doing the matching to the cruise lines yet, but I could have done this. The issue is, to be able to get this Wyndham status, you have to stay 2 separate stays at Wynn by the end of May, I believe it is. And I can't
to get
that
Wynn status, not Wyndham.
To get Wyn status.
Yes,
Wyn. Yeah, I'm sorry, I misspoke. To get the Wyn, there are too many words that sound the same. to get the Wyn, what is it called? Their Wyn
platinum
status. And they're all, we need some, I don't even know. Sapphire or something different, all these platinums and titaniums and diamonds. Anyway, you have to have 2 separate stays. So some people are saying, fly out on a Tuesday, stay Tuesday night there, go stay somewhere else Wednesday night, and then come back, stay on Thursday night back at the Wynn. There's your 2 separate stays. I cannot fit it in though before the end of May, but there's a lot of perks that come with this. Are you going to do it? Because look at those perks.
Yeah, no, I was really fascinated when I started listening to it. And Michael has Wyn status and he's super a fanatic about Wyn. He loves his Wyn hotels and he gets treated very well there. But if you look at it, not only do you have your Caesars Diamond $100 celebration dinner credit from Caesars, but then if you get Wyn Platinum, you get a $100 spa credit and $150 dining credit on your birthday month. So you would have to redeem that, which would be next year for me. But like you said, you had the complimentary Holland cruise for 2 if you do 2 separate non-consecutive stays. But the other thing that's interesting is that they also have these master classes, and sometimes it's cooking Italian, or sometimes it's, learning how to do wine pairings or chocolatiering and doing confectionery and stuff like that. So there are these master classes that would cost hundreds of dollars that you also get as part of Wyn Platinum status. It could be a fun activity for you and a significant other or a friend or whatever, whoever you're staying with or traveling with, to do one of these master classes. And again, it doesn't end there though. You can go to one of the new properties in Las Vegas, Fontainebleau, and there is the ability to match Wyn Platinum status, of which you can't do this from Caesars directly to Fontainebleau because they will match you to a lower tier. But if you do it through Wyn first, matching to Wyn Platinum, then going from Wyn Platinum over to Fontainebleau Gold, you'll get an additional $150 food and beverage credit, as well as $150 spa credit. So between all of these things, you get your Caesars Diamond status, you get Wynn Platinum status, you get Fontainebleau Gold status. All of this just from going from one hotel to the next and matching, you can get $650 worth of potential credits, plus a free cruise, plus a series of master classes for two. So, you know, this could be something that's interesting. I actually do have something I just booked. I don't think I'm going to be able to do it, but I'm looking to maybe reschedule it into May. So more coming on that.
Okay. Well, it's funny because I talked to my daughter-in-law yesterday and she was telling me about, they've got a friend of theirs who's, I guess, really getting into gambling, like to the point they're like, we're a little concerned about him, but they're all watching out for, but they're going to all do a big trip out to Vegas. And I guess he gambles enough that he has all these comp rooms and whatnot. And I said, well, you know, and I started talking about this and I could, over the phone, I could just see her head, you know, her brain exploding. And I'm like, I'm telling you, this hobby's great. You can find a way to do everything. And they're the ones that they just did that promotional Southwest Companion Pass, you know, whatever it was, you know, go get the one card and make whatever payments it was. And you get it for a whole year because they're not able to get business cards yet. So my son got it last year and she got it this year. And they're both kind of like, yeah, we're going to go to Vegas for a weekend. I'm like, let me send you some articles about this, how you can make it just a little bit better.
Yeah, it's a good way to turn something, you know, for those who won't have status from casino play and gambling, to elevate your stays and improve the benefits and perks you get while staying. So definitely something members will want to check out.
Yeah.
Next, we have a complete guide to Wells Fargo Transfer Partners. We talked about this, I think, in an episode. I don't remember if it was last week or you know, sometime back, but we discussed this as a thing that was coming. And we have the full announcement here on Award Wallet.
Yep. Nothing new and exciting. You know, there's no magic new, like, oh, it's transferring to American Airlines, which everybody wants. Some of the same partners that we see on, you know, the other bank currencies. But, you know, what if you're over 524 or you're in Amex pop-up jail and you can't get a new Citi card for a while because you're within that 48-month window, or Capital One's just for whatever reason they say no. Hey, it's another transferable currency. So it's something to look at. I would not put this very high up in my card order that I would be getting things. It would definitely be, you know, something to slot in farther down the road. But, you know, I like to say that the transferable currencies are where the magic happens in this hobby. So there, it's never a bad thing to have more of them.
Yeah. With the IAG Airlines, which is Iberia, Aer Lingus, and British Airways for covering your One World partners, you've got Flying Blue covering your SkyTeam partners and Avianca Life Miles covering your Star Alliance partners. That's, you know, covers all three major alliances, plus your transfer to choice at 1 to 2. So it transfers just like Citi, gives you an opportunity. We talked about last week, the ability to book preferred hotels online now with choice privileges points. So the most expensive property at a preferred hotel is just going to be 27,500 Citi thank you points, or the new Wells Fargo autograph journey and card points. Those are going to be 27,500 a choice as well. So you can get some real value there. And that would be something that you may wish to look into.
So the next two things, two carriers have kind of revamped or refreshed their rewards programs. We won't go into any details about it, but both Air India, which didn't even know they had a loyalty program, and Iberia Plus. Iberia has these new milestone rewards. You know, it's kind of one of those, most of us, we're not buying cash tickets in these programs. So they don't really apply to us a whole lot. We certainly have members who are very advanced that they can capitalize on some of these foreign carriers, their programs, to be able to have that status for domestic carriers. So they will be very interested in this. This doesn't even tick a box on my radar as something to look at.
As far as Air India is concerned, like if I'm going to book them at all, I'm probably going to be looking at Aeroplan because they pop up quite frequently on there. But Iberia, you know, it's nice, I guess, if you're going to pay a cash fare that you have these opportunity to earn some extra, you know, rewards for different things. But, you know, I don't think this is a needle mover for most award travelers.
I think the Iberia one might be handy, like if you were, you know, doing some bopping around Europe or something like that, you know, some short haul flights or something, that may be something to pay attention to. But even for my trip to India, trying really hard not to fly on Air India. It does not have good reviews. And you can get I even saw when I was searching, there's a nonstop from the US to Delhi. And it was only like, I don't know, 88,000 United miles for first class. And I'm still going, I don't think I want that.
That's funny you say that. I was listening to a new podcast. I believe it's called The Air Current. And it's from some guys who get really into the weeds with all the technical ongoings and business dealings of the airfield right now. And one of the guys is from Skift. One of the guys is, I can't remember where they're all from, but they're people that I've seen around and been reading their reviews for quite some time. And one of them was offered a complimentary trip on Air India, but they were like, we know you're based out of here, but this isn't where our best planes fly. So we want to position you elsewhere because we know the experience isn't going to be quite as good as on some of our new planes. So,
oh my gosh. And I have heard that they are refreshing their fleet and they're trying to improve it and make it look better, but I don't think that's going to happen before the end of this year. So I don't want to be their guinea pig.
With that, we have our final piece of news, which at first listen or first glance might be that it's a negative, but for some people, it might be positive.
Well, it's a negative for me, but the application fee is going up for Global Entry, Nexus, and Sentry. But for people with children, it's a positive because kids will be free. I don't know all the details about it because my kids are in the adult category now, so that doesn't apply to me. We also have not heard anything. It's going up $20, I think up to $120.
Correct.
We haven't heard anything from any of the banks, whether the credits that your cards offer for those, if they're going to increase to the equivalent amount so that it's still basically free. This is fairly new, but I think what is it? As long as a parent is enrolled in the program, your kids can be enrolled for free. Do they have to do interviews or anything?
So I don't know if the interviews, and this doesn't impact me either because I applied for Global Entry for both of my kids last year. So they will both be 18 by the time comes around for them again. So no help for me either. However, for anyone who's able to wait until I believe it's after October, I don't remember if it's October 1st or November 1st, but it's towards the end of this year, kids under 18 will be free for Global Entry. So that will be something that will be a positive for parents. And, you know, it's something that, again, for you and me, it's going to get more expensive, but we'll just kind of keep watching and see. Typically, the issuers of these credits have typically adjusted them. So we'll see if that happens here.
Yeah, it's October 1st is when you want to get your renewal. And if you don't have any cards that give you the credits or if the cards are not going to be increasing it, I just renewed mine, you know, this year, I think even. So I'm good for a bit. I think P2 might be renewing very shortly though, within the next year. I'll have to go take a look at that.
I just renewed my P2s as well. And we just did it maybe a month or two ago using, I don't even remember which credit card we used, one of them. We used some credit card for it and it was still $100. So I guess I got in on the right timing there.
Yep.
So let's head over to what bonuses did we get? Angie, anything new and exciting this week?
Nothing new. I'm not working on any new cards. Just I'm in the holding pattern on this right now. I did have to open up a case with American Express because it's been, I don't know, we're going on 12 weeks at this point where we should have already received the 20,000 point bonus for doing both the new business platinum and the business checking account. And gotten the bonus for the business platinum card, gotten the bonus for the checking account, but still no 20,000 bonus. And it was an hour in chat of, well, no, I'm sorry, that's a bank account that we have to transfer you to the bank account customer service people. No, sorry, that really you got to transfer you over to the credit card people. I'm like, oh, come on, people. It's at this point, I'm like, it's 20,000 points. Just give them to me. It's a goodwill gesture. But they didn't. So they told me, though, I have to, you know, check back in 10 days, I think, or something. So that's it. But no new cards, nothing like that. And I'm actually just kind of looking at what I have open and what potentially might need to be closed and just looking at my wallet. I don't know. How about you?
Yeah, we'll get into more of the closures and things in our main topic here today, but I was able to acquire both the Alaska business and consumer cards by Bank of America. They both have enhanced offers as of right now. So one has a 70,000 mile offer and the other has 75,000 for a reasonable spend. I think it was 4,000 on the business card and 3,000 on the consumer card. I mentioned last week that my wife just got approved for the American Advantage City Platinum card while the elevated offer is still there. So we're going to have a nice little quarter of a million mile haul here with all these things. And so I'm pretty excited about that. This is my first foray into Alaska miles. And I know that, you know, by many people's viewpoints, I missed the boat on this. Alaska miles were the award currency to have back when I first started. I never got them because I just couldn't see myself using them for any of my travels at that point. And it didn't make sense for me at that point. I mean, I didn't fly. They didn't do a lot with American. They, all of their sweet spots were places I was never going to be able to go. And so, you know, despite the fact that they're not as valuable today, they're probably more valuable to me today just because I know how to use them and I know that I can use them, whereas prior to that, they would have been unusable.
Yeah, I've got a bunch. I haven't used them yet. I was actually looking to book something out of P2's account because he doesn't have as many as I do and he doesn't have a card. I was like, well, let me just go ahead and see if I can use some of his. And the dumb flight that I kept trying to book, I guess there were only two seats left and it just kept erroring out when I would try to go to the payment page. So I'm like, okay, there's my sign. I'm moving on. I'm going to do this one.
Yeah. And I'll share more in our trip updates about some of the cool things that could be done with those.
Yep.
So speaking of Angie.
Okay. So I have booked some domestic stuff. Nothing too terribly exciting, but as I mentioned last week, I am going to India and I had booked a flight on United on Ethiopian. And this is kind of the same flight that I had booked last year for the safari and decided at the last minute, I'm like, I don't think I want to do that one. Well, it actually looks like the long haul section from, and it was 88,000 points on United, but it had just a really hideous, like 12-hour layover at Dulles. Okay, so I'll hang out with my girlfriend during the day. And then it was lie flat, and it was a 222 product. So I, you know, by myself, I could be on in one of the middle seats and be on an aisle. But then I discovered that the final leg into India was on some old janky narrow body flight. It's an overnight flight and it was a recliner seat. I found a YouTube video of it and it was like, oh yeah, this isn't going to work at all. So I started hunting and some people are going to think I'm absolutely insane with what I ended up booking, but I'm kind of really excited about it. So I'm flying three different carriers, three separate tickets. I am flying from Tampa to JFK on Delta. And I ended up booking that after a friend of mine kind of talked me off the ledge when I was booking these domestic trips here. The cash price was pretty cheap. But I collect points for a reason so that I can save my cash for other. And the points price was actually not too horrible, but it's on Delta. So, of course, the points were going to be a whole lot more expensive than, you know, you would think is reasonable. And I couldn't find it on Virgin. I couldn't find it on Flying Blue. So a friend of mine reminded me, he's like, you have a business platinum card. Just book it with the business platinum card, pay with points, get your 35% back. And I had one of the cards. It was assigned to Delta. I'm like, well, bing, there's my light bulb. Okay, I'll do that. So it gives me a fairly long layover at JFK, not a 12-hour layover. So I'm going to go hang out at the TWA hotel. And if it's nice weather, I may go buy a pool pass and hang out in the pool and have a drink or two. And then I can go and check in for my flight, which I'm going to fly Emirates from JFK to Milan. it's obviously not confirmed yet, but hopefully that means I get upper deck. Which I have, like, I'm checking off things on my list of, you know, planes I want to fly. Upper deck, bar on the plane, board from the lounge. I don't know why this just sounds so something I really want to do. And I'm going to try really hard to upgrade into first so that I can get that shower. I will stay awake the entire time flying to Milan just so I can take advantage of this whole experience. And then I have a 12-hour layover in Milan, but it's during the day, all day long. It's like from 12 to 11 o'clock at night, so not quite 12 hours. Well, I've been to Milan before, so I don't know if I'm necessarily going to go into the city or what I'm going to do, but I am definitely going to leave the airport and go eat like real good food from there. Then I get on Qatar. I fly. I don't think they're Q suites because I think it's just regular business class because they're fairly short flights. But I fly from Milan to Doha, where again, I have a 12-hour layover.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's all during the day. These are all daytime layovers. So I can leave the airport and I can go do something. And we didn't get to do our transit tour when we had our layover in Doha on our way to Bali because we were late leaving Chicago. But I've got like a 14-hour layover. I will have enough time. I will have enough time to get off the plane, go to the lounge, take a shower, rest for a little bit, go do the transit tour, come back, take a shower, eat something, and get back on my next plane and fly to India. And I get in the middle of the night, like literally 2 a.m. So I'll just go straight to a hotel and sleep, and I will be really messed up. What time my body thinks it is.
You need to get the first class on Qatar from Milan to Doha, because if you do, I think that's a route where you could access the first class lounge instead of the business class lounge.
Ooh. It was pretty cheap though on points. I mean, I think that was only like 32,000 points or something. So, you know,
just keep an eye out. Just keep an eye out.
What the heck? And this is kind of one of those things. I've canceled so many trips and I really only have one big one this year. It's really very much a YOLO. You know, you only live once and I collect these points for a reason. And right now I have an Ethiopian flight booked for the return. And it's actually much better product. It's like this is a different route. And so it's all wide body. It looks a lot better. You know, it's still 222. I don't think any of them are 121 planes, but a whole lot better than what that ugly one was on the way over. But we're still trying to figure out our itinerary and exactly what all we're going to do and where we're going to go. And this is really kind of a placeholder flight, but we may end up staying for a couple of extra days. So I will have to find something else at that point.
What did all this end up costing from points then?
So for the outbound flight, I am probably at about 115,000 points, I think, maybe 120,000. I'm definitely spending way more on that than I did for that Ethiopian flight. But the return flight that I have booked right now is 88,000 points on United. And again, this is many months away. I have time to try and get an upgrade. I have time to change things. I don't think I will change my outbound because I really am kind of excited about that whole Emirates flight. So I'll probably stick with that
and
one.
And you should be on the upper deck. If it's on the A380, I believe
it says we're supposed to be on the A380.
If you end up on that, the entire business class is on the upper deck there and the bar is up there. So even if you're on business and not first, like I did this with my dad and I walked through the business class cabin, even though I upgraded to first as well. And I realized that I would have been perfectly happy and thrilled with business class on that 380. It's a nice 1-2-1 product, very comfy. There is a ton of open seats and available. And you still have access to the back, the bar in the back. So you won't get that shower pick and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, it's still a very nice product and you will get to fly upper deck.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to complain too much. I'm not quite that spoiled. But one thing that was helpful, though, is that was kind of one of those I started like playing around and I booked that without much thinking going into it. But here I've got these domestic flights that I'm trying to book. It's like, you know, booking for Chicago seminars. You know, I'm like second guessing myself up one side and down the other. Like, well, should I pay cash? Well, should I use points? Should I do this one? Should I do this one? I'm like, why am I angsting over this? It's just, it's not that big of a deal. So I was glad I had friends to kind of talk me off a ledge and chill me out on that.
You're going to get to do a lot of different lounges and even on that kind of price over to India. I mean, you could certainly spend a lot more points, you know, on flights if you were to try to do it during peak times or not be able to stack all these things together. So, I mean, the fact that you have lounge access, you're able to do all these neat, cool flights and kind of work towards that aspirational bucket list, you know, trip on these different carriers, I think it'll be really awesome.
I think it'll be great. And I looked at what the cash round trip ticket was going for just in business class, you know, from here to India and back. And it's over $7,000. And I'm never paying $7,000 right. for one plane ticket. Yep. So, yeah, I'll pay these extra points on this. You know, I've been earning a lot the last couple of years. So thank you, Amex. And one good thing to note. So, you know, for Emirates, I was trying to transfer the points from P2's membership rewards account because he has more and I'm an authorized user on his gold card. So we could transfer to mine. Could not get the accounts to link at all. They just kept erroring out. So I logged into my Amex account and linked just like that, transferred instantaneously. It was just boom, super easy. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about this one. So I'll be giddy for the next few months.
Well, we can't wait to see what it turns into.
Yeah. So how about you?
I have a lot of small stuff, tinkering with trips and things like that. So I did book Chicago seminars at the Hyatt Regency O'Hare for mid-September. Use 7,000 Etihad guest miles that I've had sitting around for a while doing nothing. Technically, it's supposed to be 6,000, but we know Etihad doesn't. They play games with their minimum redemptions and stuff, and it's never what it's supposed to be. So 7,000 Etihad guest miles was able to get me the American flight over to Chicago. I used 11,000 United miles to return. So I've got the host hotel booked at 8,000 points per night. So 16,000 points. I am saving my World of Hyatt Category 1 through 4 certificates for a better use that you should be taking a look at for August, just to keep in mind that the Category 1 through 4 hotel that may be coming very soon. So we'll be talking about that more, I'm sure, in the coming weeks. But
I need to do that. But I have heard also that the Hyatt Regency O'Hare is sold out on points already for the weekend. But since I'm using that for Sunday night, I might be able to get points for that night.
So there's that. And then I booked a trip for my son. Last year, we did a father-son trip and mother-daughter trip. We are looking to replan that. I went out to California last year. I think we are going to go to Florida this year. My son wants to go back to Clearwater. And I booked the Hyatt Regency Clearwater for 50,000 points. Used up some Breeze points. The last of my Breeze credit that I got from like 2 years ago is 50,000 Breeze points to fly their Ascend. I can't remember if it's Ascend or Ascent, which is their first class on the A220. And then I have 28,000 Southwest points tied into booking us back. I only did two nights because the final night, there's no need to stay on the beach. We're going to hit the airport the next morning. So I have an alert set for the Grand Hyatt Tampa. That would be my preference. However, it's not available currently. So I booked the Hyatt House and I may just keep the Hyatt House because that would be my 10th Hyatt brand in the brand Explorer bingo. So I would get another free night award certificate if I end up choosing to stay there. And then finally, I was tinkering with our Japan and Korea trip and realized that I could use a suite upgrade at the Grand Hyatt Tokyo. It's pretty nice suite, like 1,100 square feet, dining room, all the fancy stuff. And so I used 95,000 World of Hyatt points to book that for three nights, probably going to end up canceling the Conrad that I currently have booked.
Well, that's a good use of a suite upgrade.
I think that wraps up all of our trip updates. Let's jump into our highlight feature, which is a strategy session on when to close your cards.
So this was actually a topic that was recommended by a member in a post that we had earlier this week in the group. We were talking about it and she said, you know, she goes, we really don't ever discuss, you know, like when you should be closing these cards, which actually I do think we've gone over it before and possibly even had it in the podcast. So, you know, but it's a refresher. It's just kind of like, okay, we'll go over it again. And I think you and I both have very similar philosophies in how we do things and opening cards and whatnot. I open cards that I see having long-term value. there are, you know, there are the outliers, you know, I'll admit them, the Alaska cards, but I get them for the points because, you know, hello, I live in Florida. Alaska is not going to be my big airline that I fly all the time. But for the most part, when I open a card, I'm not getting it strictly for the signup bonus. I'm getting it for what it can do for me long term, that it either has benefits that it offers or it has credits or something that makes it worthwhile to stay in my portfolio. So then every year when the annual fee posts and, you know, when you open a card and you get a signup bonus, you need to keep that card open for a year. You need to wait for that first annual fee to post because, you know, the banks are going to get kind of perturbed if you open a card. You get your signup bonus. Maybe it's something that you transfer to somebody else, or if it's a branded card and you transfer, you know, the points go into your American Airlines account or whatever it is. If you close it, they can claw back those points and they can say, no, we're not giving you any more cards in the future. So keep the card open for a year. Well, then, you know, if it has an annual fee, I look at it and compare it. What credits does the card offer? What benefits am I getting from that? You know, the Wyndham Business Earner card, it's a $95 card. In the grand scheme of things, I really don't need that card. But if I start doing this cruise matching thing and I start getting free cruises, and of course, we all know they're not really free because you got to pay taxes and fees on the ports and that kind of stuff. But if I can get a cruise, it would normally be a couple thousand dollars for, in effect, $95. That card pays for itself. It can stay in my wallet for that. My Alaska card, I will probably close it next year when it rolls around. So if a card doesn't have a benefit that is equal to or greater than what the annual fee is, I go to the next step. I look to see is, well, first of all, I'll see if there's a retention offer. Amex has been woeful this year with any offers they've given me. It's usually been like, oh, well, here, you can use your points at a better rate to pay off your annual fee. And it's like, thank you. No, I'm not going to do that. So in the past years where I've gotten maybe a retention offer of, oh, well, here, if you spend $4,000, we'll give you another 60,000 membership rewards. That's an easy retention offer to take because I would value that 60,000 membership rewards quite a bit. But, you know, no, I'm not going to use my membership rewards for an annual fee. So if they don't give you a retention offer, and Citi doesn't typically do them, Chase typically does not do them, but they have on some of their branded cards, then I look and see if there is a free or a downgrade path or a lesser expensive card. You know, we typically tell people if they've got a Chase Sapphire Reserve and they don't really want to keep it going forward, if it's been over 48 months since they last got the signup bonus, go ahead and downgrade it to a Freedom and then reapply and get a Chase Sapphire Preferred. Well, if it's not been 48 months and you need a card to be able to transfer to, go ahead and downgrade it to a Chase Sapphire Preferred in that case. It's a $95 card versus a $550 card. So look at, see what your downgrade path might be, either to a lower fee card or a free card. Or in the case of Citi, you can product change across families and you can take your Citi AA card. Again, another card that we all got probably just for the signup bonus. I will convert it into a custom cash because I have a Barclays AA card. So I have an AA card for my free check bags and my priority boarding and things like that. If there's no path for that, then decide if you want to close it. If it's a business card, that's kind of an easy close because that's not going to impact my credit score. You know, it might slightly impact my relationship with the bank because I think that's one reason Capital One did not let me get a VentureX business card is because I had closed a Spark Miles business card. Spark Miles, Spark Cash. So that's something to consider. Otherwise, if you can get it to a zero fee card, you know, that preserves your credit limit so that you can allocate credit amongst different cards, it preserves your credit history, it helps your credit utilization ratio because you've got that credit available to you. And then if it's a no fee card, just make certain that you throw some charges on it occasionally. Every once in a while, it does make sense to look at some of those cards, though, and close them. Mike Zacchio kept trying to get a Capital One card, trying, and they did not like him. And that's what they were telling him, was that he had too many open lines of credit and too much unused credit. So he had a lot available to him that he wasn't taking advantage of. And so he closed like some old like Kohl's cards or something like that. It's like a store brand card or just something that he truly didn't need, whether that was the magic ticket that let Capital One like him or not, it whatever, he got approved finally. So, you know, consider it. I don't know. What's your strategy?
I think there's a bit of strategy that goes into it and thinking about those kind of things. Like you mentioned the city thing. And the fact is we mentioned this last week. I product changed my Advantage Platinum card over to a Citi Custom Cash because I had better opportunities. But I knew that that was probably going to be the case when I signed up for it. It's like, you know, with the, you sign up for a Citi Custom Cash or you sign up for a Double Cash, those cards currently have 20,000 point offers, but a lot of times they have zero.
Right.
And so at the time when I applied, there was no bonus offers on the Double Cash or Custom Cash. You got the card. They were fee-free cards. And I was like, what am I going to give up? I can get these cards by product changing to them. I can get a nice chunk of miles. I think I ended up getting 60,000 Advantage miles. And that was kind of the path all along that I'd planned. I'm not going to get a lot of Citi cards because Citi cards, specifically thank you point earning cards, they're very hard to replicate over and over. It's not like the ink cards where you can typically get those cards over and over so long as you meet Chase qualifications and are under 524. So you can't just keep getting a bonus after a bonus with those, and you have to make sure that you're going after the right thing. You mentioned the Wyndham Business card, mm-hmm. Which is under the Barclays umbrella, is that card has a 15,000 point
anniversary spend or
anniversary bonus every single year. So those points are worth easily over 1 cent a piece. If you use them for the Vacasa stays, they can be worth close to 2 cents, 1.82 cents a point, I believe. So, I mean, that more than pays for the $90-some annual fee. And if you go to Las Vegas, you have the $100 Caesars celebration credit by matching your Wyndham Diamond to Caesars Diamond. And we just talked about all of the path to all the matching that you can do from those. So that's a card that's going to be a pretty much forever hold and use it in your daily gas station purchases or any kind of purchases where you're earning 5 to 8x on that card, which is like your utility. So if you find a utility you can pay and earn 5x, that's going to be the card to use. You're going to earn, you know, at least 5%, but, you know, maybe even closer to 10% back in rewards just by using that card for your utilities. So there are a lot of things you have to weigh out those fees. And we talked about the Alaska card and getting the miles. One of the things about the new award chart is that you can book some short haul flights on American. And I mentioned that I used 7,000 Etihad guest miles, but had I had Alaska miles, that same flight would have been 4,500 miles.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, you're talking about 4,500 miles from Cleveland to Chicago. And it was a $150 flight. And some people would say, well, I just pay the $150. But why pay $150 if you can use 4,500 miles? I mean, I have some Etihad guest miles. Etihad guests do not stay around forever. They do expire after 18 months. And while my activity in booking just extended them 18 months, I believe at the end of May or the end of June, they are changing their program and they are going to make it so they hard expire after 18 months. So it's something that I want to use up those Etihad guest miles, but at 4,500 miles, that's not a bad little play there. You can use Alaska miles to fly home or to Korea. If Dallas has a nonstop to Seoul, South Korea, it's 60,000 miles in business class. If you want to fly to Japan on JAL from the West Coast, it's 60,000, just like American Advantage. So you could fly West Coast to Tokyo, and then you can do one of their stopovers. Their new program, I believe, allows for some East Coast business class to Europe for less than the old chart at 57,500 is what it used to be at, just like American. I now believe it will be down in the 40s, mid-40s. I want to say 45,000 miles on East Coast to certain European routes in business class. So there are opportunities to use these things. And I look at those opportunities and say, I know how to use these in a way that'll make sense for me. With the fact that if I use these on American, I can apply my American status in some ways if I'm kind of creative about it. So a lot of people found out recently that they're putting a hard stop to being able to double dip your benefits when booking with Alaska Miles. I think there are maybe some still paths around that, and we'll keep working towards that. So as far as the cards go, though, you know, I want to make sure that I have the ones that, like you said, offer long-term value. And if they're going to be get too difficult, we talked about this last week with the Business Platinum cards and Chase with the Sapphire and the Ritz cards dropping Priority Pass, they get too hard to use and maintain value. It's time to start looking at product changing them to a low or no fee card, depending on what works best for you.
Yep. So we're in agreement.
So with that, I don't really have anything to add to your strategy of when to hold them and when to fold them. Why don't you tell everybody your tip of the week?
So somebody earlier in the group this week, we've had a lot of interaction, interesting comments in the group this week. We were talking about cards and she's like, I forgot where I am on 524, which it happens. Download the Experian app. It used to be that you could use Credit Karma very easily to figure out what your 524 status was. And then they went and tweaked it. And it's no longer easy to do it. But the Experian app is super easy. It's free, you know, and you can go through, you know, play around with it. You can figure out how to do it. But basically, you click on your report, view your credit report, the views, your accounts, and you can sort it by date, open newest to oldest. And it, you just bop right through there and count it up and be like, oh, look, 1, 2, 3, 4 in the past, you know, 24 months, I'm 424. The good thing about it, too, is it lets, you know, it, you start getting alerts right away, too, if somebody, you know, pulls your credit or accesses your credit file on Experian, not on the other bureaus, but, you know, and I get it also on all my credit cards, CreditWise or this or whatnot, but it, you know, it's helpful to have that, but download the Experian app. I think it's a pretty valuable tool to have in this hobby to be able to easily access that and know what it is. You can sort it also by balances that you owed. So you can be like, you know, if you've got a ton of cards out there, you're like, how much do I owe right now? Your business cards won't show up there, but that's fine because they shouldn't count for 524 anyway. So that's my tip of the week.
Cool. And with that, where can everyone find us?
You can find us in the free 107,000 plus member Award Travel 101 community. I haven't looked lately to see how many people we have, but
that's almost 108 now. So
okay, there we go. We're growing.
And for a deeper dive into more intermediate and advanced strategies, and to get more value from your rewards or current portfolio of cards, check out our Award Travel 201 community, which is $89.99 annually. It is the place to find more outsized value.
Or you can book time with our team for your own personalized credit card strategy or help learning how to search for Award Travel. Check out our Award Travel one-on-one consulting service.
You can also email us at contactawardtravel@gmail.com.
And if learning in person is more your style, come to our meetups. Our next meetup is sold out in San Antonio, Texas, the week of April 26th through the 28th. And we will be announcing the location and the dates of our next meetup in San Antonio. So keep an eye out on the group because we'll announce it after that.
Awesome. And for everyone listening, thank you for joining us again this week. We appreciate your support through the Award Travel 101 community and podcast. And we'll see you next time. Safe travels.
Bye. Have a good weekend.